Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wise Men Say, Sun FM Preview Show.
With Stradstone Jaguar Land Rover, Houghton Lisspring.
Visit their temporary sales home at Doxford International Business Park.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say Preview Show with Sun FM. Is that right? Is that how it's branded?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's something like that, isn't it? Yes. Well, it seems like ages since we've been in the studio anyway. Because it has been quite a while, hasn't it? It's been quite nice, hasn't it, actually, having a little bit of a break. One thing maybe the international break's good for, we don't have to sit here and mourn about Sunderland.
It's been building up, though, hasn't it, for a few weeks, and now we get to do it. It's going to be worse this week now, isn't it?
Don't say that. It'll never be worse. Every show is better than the last one. So myself, Stephen Goldsworth, and Gareth Barker are joined by a couple of guests tonight. James Hunter from the Evening Chronicle is back with us again.
Good evening.
Nice to see you. Nice. And Michael Luff as well, who does some work with us over at Wise Men Say, has joined us as well.
Right.
Bit of a regular now, Mike. I'll reach and then just like the nod of the head there.
Yeah, what he'll do is sit silently for about 20 minutes and then unleash into something for five, and that'll be his bit done.
Mm. And then he sits down and we turn his mic off, and then he can just let us know when he wants to talk again.
That's what I bothered to turn up on time with us.
But he turned up on time tonight, so.
Yeah, we would have started without you if you didn't, like we did before. Lots of talk about tonight because of the things that might have happened without Sunderland playing, some players returning from injury and stuff like that. We'll hear from Simon Grayson as well, and hopefully we've got our QPR guest, which is a bit of a sentimental
hopefully.
One. Hopefully. I always say hopefully because you never know what's going to happen. They tell you they're coming on, and 99% of the time they do come on, but sometimes they don't.
Hedging bets.
Yes.
You can rely on Steve, though, can't you? The first guest, phone guest we ever had on Wise Men Say. 4 years ago.
Yeah, and when I text him, it just shows that we don't keep in touch or anything. Because when I text him, I was surprised his number was there, and it was. And you know, like when your phone puts it in grey, as if to imply like you never text this person, but we've got it stored on the phone somewhere. And when I text him, it actually had the very first time, and when I asked him to come on from 2013. So that
3rd of March or something like that, so was it? 5th of March or something like that.
I'll have a check in a bit.
2013, got beat 3-1 the following weekend at QPR. Andros Townsend scored that goal.
And that was when they were like rubbish as well, wasn't it? It was
when we were rubbish.
Well, yeah, but they got relegated, didn't they?
Yeah,
they have a knack of beating us when they get relegated at QPR, don't they?
Loads of teams have got relegated.
Well, yeah, they're not special on that front, are they?
Not really, no. Not particularly.
If people enjoyed the international weekend... People aren't as enthusiastic about international football as I am.
I enjoyed some of the games this time. I don't know which games people watched. I don't know if
surely everybody watched Wales Ireland.
I saw
the do or die game.
Second half of that one, and I watched the two Scotland games because I was really interested to see what was going to happen there. Because obviously there was a lot riding on their two games, and they were probably a little bit unfortunate, even though they didn't really do particularly well in the game. In Slovenia, even, sorry. But yeah, it was. I thought I quite enjoyed those two games. There was something on it, and that's what it was all about, really, wasn't it? Like, it's the drudgery of the qualifiers. Often it's done and dusted, but there was probably a lot of qualifiers all over the world, wasn't there? I know Argentina, obviously, their situation. The USA, their situation, obviously, didn't qualify.
We've got USA listeners as well, and if they are still relatively new to football, and have now witnessed...
That's not patronising.
No, because some of them they are. We get emails from people saying I've been interested in football for 4 years or something like that, and we've come across Sunderland. That does happen. Apologies for the hardcore football fans who have grown up like the rest of us following football. Gareth's trying to throw me under a bus there. But my point is, they've now witnessed Sunderland get relegated, and they've witnessed their country not qualifying for a World Cup. So welcome to the real world of being a football fan. Yeah.
Mine was a bit of a hipster's choice for one half of the game I took in with the qualifiers. I watched Australia versus Syria on YouTube yesterday. The game wasn't exactly high on quality, to say the least, but it was very intense. And it was just devastating at the end because Syria ever got knocked out courtesy of a Tim Cahill goal. And it just reminded me just of every game I've wanted a team to win. Tim Cahill's ruined it for me. Isn't he just kept that tradition up?
What is this? I mean,
he must be some age now, Keel. Yeah. He's older than me.
The Syria thing.
And I'm the ancient.
There's some interesting hot takes on that one online. I'm not going to go into them now because a lot of people are like romanticising the fact that they've done so well. But there's other people going like it shouldn't be romanticised because here's a cavalcade of reasons as to why not. So
we'll not go there.
Shame on you for enjoying yourself, Michael.
Well, I'll give myself 10 lashings without my getting in. So.
Gordon Strachan leaving Scotland as well after their latest failure. Could you see how it all made Moisey walking into that one, James?
He's almost certainly going to be one of the contenders, isn't he? You know, he's not yet back in work anywhere else, so I can't see any reason why they wouldn't look at him. I wonder, to be perfectly honest, what do Scotland want from a manager? I mean, they went into the qualifiers, in the last international break, and came pretty close to getting that playoff place. Let's face it, would another manager have done much better?
I was surprised they got rid of him because they finished a group with momentum, didn't they?
Yeah.
And, because they started off terribly.
The Lithuania game, wasn't it, is the one that's
at home, yeah, because they started
off
the player like Scotland normally play, but then they finished the group quite strongly, so I was surprised that they did that. It would be interesting to hear Moyes' first press conference if he did go in there, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah.
He'd be like, Scotland haven't qualified for anything for years, and even when we did qualify, we weren't that good then. We barely got out of the group, so let's just calm down a little bit here.
And with the genetic genetic problems that we've got in our country, apparently, we're never going to really qualify for anything until there's been a whole new generation of people have been born, so I'm going to be here for 40 years until I fix that problem, so strap yourself in. That'll be his opening gambit,
genuinely interested to see where they go from that now. For that, I am interested to see what kind of manager they look for, because Moyes is the obvious one, but yeah. You get a feeling they're going to want somebody a bit younger with a bit more energy, don't you?
Just heard on the wireless on the way in, Alec McLeish chucking his hat into the
ring.
He
chucks his hat in the ring for every job going, doesn't he?
He's been Scotland manager before.
He has. He did okay there as well. Yeah. I got him the Rangers job, didn't it? And that's when he left.
He was on another podcast actually recently. I was listening to. He was quite interesting fella. He was talking about how he discovered Wilfred Ndidi. And he was out in Belgium. Was it Ghent he managed, I think? But I can't remember who it was. But yeah, he apparently he sort of discovered and signed Wilfred Ndidi, although he didn't take all the credit for finding and signing him. And then I think they signed him for about $60,000 and obviously sold him for $15 million to Leicester. So, you know, that's one good thing that he's done. Going from like managing Birmingham to Villa. Probably not there. After relegating Birmingham, didn't he get relegated?
He got the Villa job. Yes.
Imagine that. Someone relegating Newcastle and then getting the Sunderland job. I'm sure they'd roll out the red carpet.
The problem is spotting a bargain in the transfer market. It's not one of the prerequisites for an international manager.
In that case, maybe David Moyes, maybe he's like, I can't, so, you know. And what else am I going to do now? Give me the job. Maybe they'll give Marty McKay a chance because he's working in the bowels of the SFA somewhere, isn't he?
Well, they could ask Walter Smith for advice, Sunderland did. Yeah. And he goes straight to the next best team after Celtic, knowing that Celtic's manager's not a realistic choice for us.
Yeah, give it Ali McCoist.
Sabresia for Scotland, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Ricky Sabresia. Why not?
Well, how long have
a couple
you
of players returned. Well, one in particular. I don't want to overdo this, James, but Paddy McNair seems like he's a saviour of our season.
So many saviours, so little time.
Did you get to the under-23 game midweek?
Yeah, I saw the under-23 game, played 45 minutes the first half against Hertha Berlin, scored the first goal in the 2-0 win, so he did very well. Obviously, played in midfield. He was just feeling his way back, really, into the game. He's going to be several more matches like Duncan Watmore. He's going to need several games before he's even on the fringes of the first team. I think he'll probably play against Arsenal under-23s on Monday and probably
Everton. Did
Watmore
play that many before he came back?
He played about three or four, didn't he?
He had two or three, didn't he?
Yeah.
There'll be games going on behind closed doors as well, won't there?
Yeah, and like I say, they've got two under-23 games next week, and maybe by then you'll be starting to look towards the end of the month, maybe the Checker trade game in early November, and then perhaps he might be ready for a first team.
Good performance, though. I know he scored, but apart from that,
yeah, he did. He looked good. He looked sharp. You know, he looked. You know, he needs to you know, to play his way back into it after being out for 11 months, you know, with such a serious injury. But yeah, for a player coming back from such a serious injury, yeah, he did well.
Yeah, I was impressed with the goal he scored, because McNair in interviews, he talked about the fact that he sees himself as a more advanced player than maybe what he's been played at in the past at Manchester United and in his early Sunderland career. And I was very impressed with the way he followed the ball in when the Watmore shot was saved. It was a very good turn by Watmore and the good save from the keeper. But McNair was very instinctive, as I said, the way he followed the header in. It was an excellent finish, really. And so if he is going to claim a place playing further forward, then he can't do himself any harm if he shows that kind of instinct on a regular basis.
I guess what's weird in the league games that McNair played, very different to the League Cup game where he scored twice. He kind of came on in that 10 role, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then, because we played at Diamond, I think, at QBR. And then, but in the league games, he was kind of played on the wing, on the left, before Nietzsche came in, which was just bizarre. And then he played as sort of a sitting midfielder in the two, with one in front. So when even though Moyes came out and suggested he was more of a player who's going to play midfield and be a more advanced sort of member of that three, he never really did that in the league. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see coming back in. We've been dying for somebody who's going to get into the box, and I think it's positive that he's played a championship team in that cup competition, scored twice coming on as a substitute. Then he comes in, he's playing probably more as an advanced midfielder in that game, scores.
Yep.
So he's obviously got a desire to get into the box and do something. So, and we're desperately lacking that at the moment.
Like I said, no pressure, but he's going to be the saviour of our season.
They were unfortunate, really, because he just sort of found his right position and started to look good and look like he could hold down a place in that team when the injury came.
The game, that actual game November. Against Hull, he was having a really good game.
Yeah, he did. Mm. Yeah. He did, didn't he? But, I mean, it's such a long time ago, isn't that? And it, amazing to see how things have moved on since then. I mean, that was a game we won at home, which is, you know, a rarity.
You only won one more after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two, we beat Leicester as well, just after.
Was that just before Leicester?
That was the game that Duncan Watmore got injured. Same. Beginning same of injury, December. Yeah.
We won two more games, okay, right.
Increase 100%.
We do have Steve Colwell, who's going to join us next, because he just texted me saying, good to go, and so are we.
Wise Men Say, Sun FM Preview Show.
With Stradstone Jaguar Land Rover, Houghton Lisspring.
Visit their temporary sales home at Doxford International Business Park.
We are now joined by Steve Colwell, who is a QPR fan. A couple of years since we've spoken to Steve, because obviously we've been in different divisions. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, Steve was actually the very first phone guest we ever got on when we started this podcast, myself and Gareth. I'm looking at the conversation, Steve, when I asked you to come on that first time, and it was in March 2013. How about that?
4 years ago, eh? It's amazing.
A lot's happened since then. Sunderland have had three successful relegation battles, one unsuccessful one. Tell us about QPR in that time.
Well, as you've witnessed, as most of the country has witnessed, we go up and we go down, we go up and we go down. We've bought some rubbish players where we've been up, paid too much money for has-beens, and now we're sort of paying the price, really. We're having to do what we can to buy players for very little, or get cheapos or Bosmans, and we're picking up now, and we've actually got some good young players now.
Well, every Sunderland fan listening to that now will be thinking, right, okay, is this what's ahead for us? Picking up frees and picking up loans where we can. Has it been tough as a fan to take, or has it been refreshing in some way?
I think this season, and probably the last half of last season since Holloway came back, has been quite refreshing in a funny way, even though we've lost a hell of a lot of games in that time. But we've started bringing in players that want to play football and want to play for QPR rather than just want to pick up their wages. And we've been gradually getting rid of those. So that's refreshing, definitely.
This sounds familiar, James, doesn't it? A manager looking for players who wants to play for the club and not just coming for a payday. You don't expect to hear this from a club in West London, do you?
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm you know, starting to remember, I think, the last time Sunderland and QPR played, you know, in the league. Wasn't that when Martin O'Neill was manager back then, wasn't it? Was that 2013?
No, Gus Poyet. When Gus Poyet he came and had a go at the crowd afterwards, it was towards the beginning of the end for Gus Poyet. That was sort of towards.
I remember watching that film at around the time. You know, the 5-year plan at QPR, and it just seemed that madness had descended. And in its own way, you know, madness came to Sunderland in terms of the money that was wasted on players that didn't, you know, offer anything, and there was no. There was no return on those players, so I think Sunderland, in a different way, they're kind of on the same places, on the same page as QPR. You know, they're now trying to build a team of players, that want to be here and that have something to offer, and not the sort of not journeymen, they're all mercenaries of the of the recent past.
Steve, tell us about Ian Holloway then. I think, if I'm being honest, I think a lot of people would have made a snap judgment when he went back to QPR and said, that won't work. He did well at Blackpool and got them up to the Premier League, of course, didn't he? And they played attacking, exciting football. And then he went away and he said he rediscovered himself. He went to Spain and countries like that, I seem to remember, and said it would make him a better manager. But his career hasn't got back to that point yet. So what's he like now?
We did quite well at Palace as well, so
he did, yeah.
I think a little while ago when you were talking, I was nodding away to what you both were saying. I'm agreeing entirely, and QPR similar to Sunderland. I think, well, looking at what's happened, he's got the team playing again, wanting to play. He's got spirit, and we all know that he's a character and a half. You know, I think that. There are other people he's got in around him that have been quite good. Bringing Bertrand back to the club was good, as his number two. And we bring back old favourites as scouts, and we're getting people around again that care about QPR. It's becoming like an old boys' club, you know, in a way, with the people coming in. So I feel quite good about it at the moment. Obviously, we're doing okay at the moment, but. And I've got no dreams we're going to go up this season, but I think we're building a decent club again, yeah. And we've got a chance in the next 2 or 3 years maybe going up.
What's the style of football like?
It's very interesting. I think, I don't know, did you see the Fulham match because it was on telly?
I saw the highlights, if I'm being honest, because I was listening to it. Yeah. I was driving, I had it on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was quite interesting because Fulham, incredible, they're sort of breaking away and they get from one end of the pitch to the other in about 2 seconds. But we had 3 times as many shots as them. We're making things, but our trouble at the moment is we've got no one up front who's going to really regularly put the ball in there since we lost Charlie Austin. And that's been a big thing because we're making chances for people to score. And we've also had trouble with defence this season. But I like Holloway, obviously. I've always liked him. I think we got rid of him too quickly when we got promoted to the Championship last under him, you know. And I think he should have been given more time then. But I like him. I'm a Holloway man.
So Sunderland this weekend. I'm sure you're aware this is huge, ginormous monkey on the back of the moment when it comes to Sunderland playing at home.
Yeah,
that must be something that's encouraging you.
Well, it's a bit the other way because we haven't won for ages either away from home. So I don't know. I gave a little prediction on the Salu Sunderland site, and I said we'd lose 3-1 because I wasn't feeling very optimistic at the time. But I've been thinking back on it, and you know. I don't know. I think we've got a chance at winning this one, or at least getting a draw. Yeah.
It didn't take long to talk yourself out of your initial prediction.
No, it was only about 2 days ago I said to Sally Sutton. It was just after, I've forgotten who the chap is on it, who Colin Randall, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I forgot that I'd said that, and then I've thought about it and looked at it, and I'm thinking, you know, we've actually got a very good midfield, which is what we have got, and we've got a couple of important defenders out, but we've got Baptista's been actually filling in amazingly well coming into the side, and if we can keep the ball out of the net, I don't think we will. I think we're going to let in at least one goal, but we've got a great keeper. You know, it's the thing, if we've got a lot of good players, but we're missing a few sort of cogs in the wheel, as it were. We are missing a few players that could make it much better.
So how far back does that poor away form go then? It's not something I realise, to be honest. I guess the reason I'm asking that is because the sides that Sunderland have lost to at home this season, which is most of the sides have played apart from one, they've all been a lot more streetwise in Sunderland. Those players, they came here, they did a job, they knew what they had to do to get out with a win. Forrest came for a draw and got a win still. That's a different story. Do QPR have those players? Because if you haven't won in however long, maybe not on the road.
Not on the road, no. And we haven't won for a little while in home either. We've got a good midfield. We've got people that can score goals coming from midfield as well. It's difficult to say, you know. Against Fulham, we had something like 28, 30 shots on and not on goal, you know. We were sort of hammering at the Fulham goal, but we just can put the ball in there. It's that bit of luck thing sometimes you find with strikers, particularly, isn't it? They'll go and go and go and not score, and then they'll not stop scoring. But we haven't got great strikers, that is definite. But we have got people who can score from midfield. So, you know, I immediately thought we were going to get stuffed, basically, because we're away from home and it's a long way to go. For me particularly, I'm not going to this match this time, but it's a long, long way for me to go. And I do like going to Sunderland, but we need to get someone who can put the ball in net regularly. That's the trouble. We haven't got that player.
And how far does this away thing go back? All of this season or beyond?
Probably since we got rid of Charlie Austin. Yes. You know, he was the lad that we were scoring. We just gave the ball to him and he scored a goal, basically, in the air, on the floor, whatever. We've really missed him going to Southampton.
It's February, isn't it? February. The last away win for QPR, is that right? February? Does that sound about right?
Oh, I can't remember when we lost. I really can't remember when we lost one away from home.
I think it's February.
That's how much it's rememberable. I can't remember when we lost one away.
Sunderland haven't won at home since December, so there you go. So it's two teams. Yeah. We both concede goals, maybe an entertaining 4-4, something like that. You sound like you've changed your mind, Steve, and you're confident or semi-confident then, or what? Give us a prediction.
Well, I'll go. The thing is, I could go for a draw just to make sure I've got all three results, couldn't I? It all depends on really on how we play, because we've been playing under Holloway. It's his style, wasn't it? It's to really work hard and stop the other team playing football, certainly early on in the match. If we can do that and score a goal, we've got a good chance. That's where it is. If we don't score, then the QPR team gets shattered, and because they're doing so much running and not actually getting anything out of it, and it's like that. But we've got three midfielders. I don't know if Luongo's going to be playing, because he played for Australia the other day, so I'm not sure if he will be playing. But it's certainly with him, Scowen's been a great signing for us, a defensive midfield player, and Freeman is a great attacking midfield player. So we've got three good midfield players there, and a couple of youngsters, Manning and Wheeler, who've come into the club and doing quite well as well. So the midfield, I'm not worried about, is whether we can kick the ball out and score a goal from the front three or four. Yeah.
Wise Men Say, Sun FM Preview Show. With Stradstone Jaguar Land Rover, Houghton Lisspring. Visit their temporary servicing home at Doxford Drive, Peterlee.
Thanks to Steve there. I don't think we were going to get him off the fence in any way. He wasn't keen on committing to something there, was he, at all?
A bit like you.
He's still on the fence.
I'm not sure you're right there, but maybe you are right. Right, okay. There's one QPR game me and you talk about a lot. Do you know which one I mean straight away?
Yeah, because we talked about it before.
Which one?
The Mike Sheeran incident.
Were you covering Sunderland then, James, or was that just before your time? The year we got to the playoffs under Reid.
No, that was just before my time.
Mm. Well, the thing about that one as well was...
We'd been on this massive winning run, hadn't we? Yeah. And we even beat Forest away, who went on to win the league that season. And it was seen
3-0
as
well.
Yeah, a top-of-the-table clash, and we stuffed them at the City Ground.
Yeah. And then we had two games over Easter. We had QPR on the Friday night, and then we had West Brom away on the Monday, and we drew 3-3 at West Brom on the Monday, but the killer was the game at at the stadium like on the Friday.
It was both because even the West Brom game, Lee Hughes equalised in the last minute.
We were 2-0 down, weren't we? Or weren't we came no, back with 3-2?
Were we not 2 up? Then it was 2s each, then we went 3-2 up. And then Lee Hughes equalised in the last minute for them. But anyway, the QPR game, we were 2-0 up on Corston, weren't we?
Well, yeah. I thought we lost the game, did we?
No, we drew.
Did we take
this is unforgettable, this game, obviously. Nobody can remember what happened.
Well, what the thing,
we drew 2-2.
Well, Chris Makin came on as a sub and had an absolute mare, and he was.
I think Quinn scored the 2, and we were cruising.
Yeah, the keeper dropped the ball for the first one, and he suddenly tapped it in. But I remember the main. Mike Shearer scored quite a good goal, actually, the first one, which was like outside the foot from the edge of the box. But then he got like Chris Makin back pass. Like straight to Mike Sheeran, and he went through and scored, and that was, I think, that was the night where you thought, oh no. And the Ipswich game as well, which was that season was the killer. Later, there was a few at the end of that season where we kind of managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. But yeah, that is a significant QPR game at the Stadium of Light. We beat them last time, didn't we? With, I think, Sessegnon. No, we got beaten last time, didn't we, actually, under Poyet. Yeah. That was the infamous Jordi Gomez playing as a weird left midfielder game.
You knew he lost the fans after that game because there was a spirited second half comeback where the players just started look like they were interested and started chasing balls down. The crowd got behind them, and he took that as the crowd wanting a more direct style of play and saying, you know, I'm not the guy to do that and bring that here. And really, I think the fans were just acknowledging the effort. I brought the fixture up on StatCat and it was 2-2. Quinn scored 2 and then Mike Shearer scored 2. It just makes you depressed looking at the Sunderland team. That starting 11, Perez in goal, Makin and Gray fullbacks, Holloway and Williams centre-half, Lee Clark and Kevin Ball centre midfield, Summerby, Johnson, wingers, Quinn and Phillips up front.
Look at the bench as well.
The bench, Craddock, Ray, Diccio. Is it Diccio or Diccio? Which one do you go for?
Don't know. Don't care.
You've spoken to him, James, I'm guessing.
I'm going to go Diccio.
Diccio.
Don't you, me? Sassed it.
Just for reference, get that West Brom fixture up and we'll see if.
West Brom fixture.
It's the one next to it. I've opened the tab next to it.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. 3-3.
We were 2 down after 11 minutes and we were 3-2 up.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, Kevin Kilbane got the second for.
And Kevin
for them.
And Kevin Ball and Johnson for us.
Aye. Well, it was a dramatic weekend of football.
It was.
We've got that to look forward to because you get the full Easter programme, don't you, in the Championship, which you don't get in the Premier League. But onto things.
Yeah, I want you to mention this.
Me mention it.
Go on, yeah. So you'll do it better.
I'll do it better, will I? So if you head over, I know what we've mentioned on the show previously about the Red and White Army, which is the sort of new sort of fully transparent democratic fan group, which you can get involved in. If you head over to redandwhitearmy.co.uk, you can sign up there via email.
Go and do that. Even if you feel like you don't want or need or you're not... don't have the inclination to be actively involved and push forward ideas, numbers are important.
Yeah.
So any Sunderland fans really who do want a better line of communication with the club and the opportunity to be heard within a democratic group, if you're happy with that concept, all you need to do is just sign up.
Absolutely.
Don't need to do anything else.
Absolutely. And it's not, some people may have interpreted again, just really at the point, it's not a protest group with a defined outcome. The aim is to open and maintain a working dialogue with the club, and it hopefully will be here long after we're gone as well. That's the aim. But anyway, the few updates on that at the moment. If you head over to the website, they'll be on there. The minutes from the meeting, which was held at the Peacock a few weeks ago, that's on there. Now, so you can read up on what went on there. It was a decent turnout. I know Stephen, you were there, and it was about 60-70 people came
in.
All right. And also the there was a letter sent from the group to the club requesting a meeting with Martin Bain, and the Martin's come back and said he's willing to meet with the interim chair to sort of discuss how the working sort of dialogue is going to go forward, I think, between the group and the club. So it's a good opportunity to get a bit of the foot in the door and then take it from there. But I understand there'll be scepticism and cynicism around it. As a cynic myself,
you never know.
Some good people trying to do something for everybody there, and that's the main takeaway. It's not about egos or people, you know, wanting to have, you know, a cup of tea with Martin Bain. It's not about that. It's about being proactive and trying to, you know, give fans the opportunity to bring ideas to the table if they want to, and that's the bottom line. But also, it was at the Peacock, and this weekend we'll be back in the Peacock before the QBR game, and our guest this week is John Oster, so that should be quite interesting. It's not a guest we've had on the show before, so that'll be quite good.
I have a habit of doing this with the live show guests.
Yeah,
people we haven't worked with before, which is bizarre, because you'd think we'd have the tried and tested ones who've been in the studio and stuff. But
yeah, but next few weeks, Bristol City game, we've got Gordon Armstrong coming on again, who did one a few weeks ago with us. Who's anyone who was there will sort of suggest that he was very good. And the following home game on the Saturday is Millwall. I think that's mid-November. And we've got Stephen Elliott, I think it's the 18th of November, so Sleeves will be sitting with us and having a bit of crack, so that'll be quite good as well. So get those dates in your diary, and hopefully we'll see you on Saturday. For about,
come along, if you've never been, just give it a try.
Yeah,
it's a very intimate event, and it just turns into a bit of a Q&A, and it lasts for about 40-45 minutes normally. Yeah. And we look at the team selection coming and everything like that, and we just get some opinions on Sunderland.
It's a bit like a preview
year.
Show on the telly, isn't it? But
yeah,
you know, with a bit more of a, you know, bit more interesting, isn't it, because it's about Sunderland and not about the opposition, which usually happens when we play somebody on the television. They just talk about them for 15 minutes and then we get a mention at the end about how bad we are, and then we get beat.
There'll be no mentions of Mike Sheeran.
Well, it might be, and he might come in, you never know. Maybe we've booked him. Maybe I've booked him.
You'll get Ed Sheeran by mistake.
I think he probably costs a little bit more than we could afford, to be honest.
You never know. If he's in town, he might pop along the Peacock. You just never know.
Who's he support, Ed Sheeran?
Wouldn't like to guess.
He once came on the stage in the Hartlepool top.
Did he?
I was informed on quite good authority by a Hartlepool supporter.
Is he on the mag?
He looks like one, doesn't he?
I've got a feeling he is, you know.
From what I gather, I don't think he's a football fan. I don't even think he attaches himself to a team.
From what I can gather, Michael's like, from he knows all gather. About him, doesn't he? He's like, from what I can gather.
Well, you know, it's a very close circle, us gingers, so we have to
know about each other and look out for each other.
So what is?
Are you going to come along and watch our guest, John Oster, before the game?
Yep.
All right.
That wasn't very convincing.
He said yes with conviction, but he hasn't been a one yet.
But we can't do the...
I've never previously promised I was going to turn up, so...
We can't do the Bristol City one, so Rory's doing it, so you'll have to do it with him. I'm not joking either. Me and Stephen are away. So there you go. You've been roped into that as well. Don't be late for that one, though. Hey? Don't let yourself
because
down.
Because if you're on a stage, we'll be watching.
Exactly.
We don't want an empty chair.
Exactly.
And we'll tell Rory to empty chair.
Yeah.
Well, there's inevitable and there's going to be empty seats because it's Sunderland, isn't it?
On the Mike Sheeran thing, you remember when Mark Clattenburg got wrong for... He left, didn't he? Because the referee is supposed to leave games together. And he left to go to an Ed Sheeran concert. So he left early and went off track because he's supposed to travel to games and from games. Is the referee team, and he nicked off and went to see Ed Sheeran. The next morning, I was having me breakfast up the road from where I live, and then he comes to the car park of course I didn't know it was Ed Sheeran gate had transpired at that time, but it was the morning after, and he came in and had his breakfast in the same place I did. So I could have got some photos and sold them to the Daily Mail, had I known, because they would have loved that, wouldn't they? Post Sheeran, Clattenburg feasts on sausage or something like that, they would have put probably.
Disgraced Premier League referee.
Premier League. Incredibly rich Premier League referee, Mark Clattenburg.
It's a bit of a harsh rule, that one, isn't it? Making them leave together.
Well, it's to stop people, you know, cheating. But to be fair, though, he was very, very officious with the lass in the taking his order, which I did find quite amusing. He's very insistent about how he was like, don't just. Last time he ordered this and you just start replacing items on the breakfast. He was like, don't do that. He was like, if you want to replace something, come and see me first, and I'll tell you what I want you to replace it with. And then he like sent her away, and I was like,
did you have a little black book?
I was thinking, he was like,
I'll take the order. And then he got the yellow card out as she walked away.
I write down exactly what I want.
Yeah. Did he insist she retreated 10 yards?
Yeah. That sounds like I'm making it up because he's a referee. I'm not.
I don't think anyone would think you're making that up. that's not a cool enough story to make up really.
No, it's not
an
really,
interesting
is it?
One from the context of tonight and talking. Mm. But it would have been good if they did get the order wrong so he could have yellow carded, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have
that
been.
That would be absolutely
I didn't know if I was there when his meal arrived, but no, he was very officious. So, you know, he obviously takes his work home with him.
Breakfast
with
Barker.
The two linesmen are in the bed
still talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. He was saying, tell you what, that fella from that wise man say podcast, he does not put some scran away, does he? That's what he was saying to his lass at the time, who overheard him.
Well, you admit that on the show, don't you?
Yeah, well,
don't
you know, exactly. Don't care.
Right, we'll come back. We're going to hear from Simon Grace and we're going to talk about the game.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wise Men Say, Sun FM Preview Show.
With Stradstone Jaguar Land Rover, Houghton Lisspring.
Take a test drive at their Doxford Business Park temporary home.
Okay, here's something that's new but not new. Jack Rodwell, centre-half. Played there the other night, James. Let's hear from Simon Grayson on it first.
Well, it's a decision we both took, to be fair. After I spoke to Jack early on in my days, it was probably 2-3 days in, if not earlier than that, and we're talking about what I needed to try and get him back to the level of fitness, his potential of what he showed, obviously, with the moves that he's had previously. And he said he did... Up to going into Everton's first team, he was playing centre-half in all the England teams, etc. And he just felt that that might be his best position for himself, psychologically, maybe physically as well. Maybe his body can't take the demands of playing in midfield anymore. I know he's still young, but sometimes these factors happen. So after consideration of looking at it over the last few weeks, we decided to play him at... Doncaster, and then again the other night. So he's done okay in the games, but it gives us another option of what he might do. And you see, Mark Wilson has been out for a couple of games, so Lamine was left out just purely for tactical reasons that we wanted to go with John and Tyus, and they played very well, them two. And it's no reflection on Lamine, really. We went for a team to get us a result and a performance, and we got that at Preston. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the win. But there was performances to suggest that there's some good signs. And John O'Shea coming into the team, you know what you're going to get. He's an experienced player, played at the highest level internationally, club football. And I just felt that his experience, his voice amongst the other players would be a big boost and help to everybody else. And I think that proved on the day.
I mean, all the telltale signs of somebody just so... just... unaware of where he is at the moment
Jack Rodwell
because Jack Rodwell had previously come out and rubbished reports that he was a defender and said, no, I know I played there when I was younger, but midfield is my position. And it's almost, James, if he's thinking, I just need a reboot in some way, something to just refresh this and start over, and you know, I don't want to say last throw of the dice, but it probably is last throw of the dice for him to stake a claim doing something.
You know, I think, you know, you've got a player in Jack Rodwell. He's a talented player, or can be, and he's proved that in the past. Nothing has gone right for him since he's been at Sunderland. He's had horrendous injury problems. When he has played, he hasn't played to the standard that anybody expected or wanted. And so it's really a case of trying anything and everything to get something out of this player that you've got. I mean, he's under contract, I think, until 2019. I see people on my timeline on Twitter all the time saying, why don't we just sack the guy, pay him off, get rid? I think, okay, so you shovel a great big cheque in his direction. And what does that gain you? It gains you nothing. If you can try and get something, some kind of return from from Jack Rodwell. You're never going to get a £10 million player out of him. You know, that's done and dusted. That's gone. But you, if you can get somebody that you can utilise and use it, you know, at various times, then that's got to be better than nothing at all. If you're going to pay him, and you are going to pay him because he's under contract, try and get what you can out of him. And if that's as a centre back, if that's possible, you know, and I haven't seen enough of him there. I've seen him play there several times, but I'd like to see him a lot more before I can make a proper judgment. Then so be it. I think the word that you use, Stephen, is very much the right one. His career needs a reboot.
Certainly does. Okay, well, we've all mentioned ourselves that we have this massive monkey on our back. We haven't won at home. Simon Grayson was naturally asked about that today.
We've got to now put on a performance for 90 minutes if we can, with a show the real effort, desire, commitment of, and do whatever's required to go and win the game. Because we've got, like I said, we've got three important home games, and the fans are important. We've got a fans fest in the back end of October as well. I want supporters to come to the club and enjoy what they're seeing that the players are working for the shirt, see what goes on behind the scenes at the fans fest, where they see how hard the players are working on a daily basis and interact with everybody. Because we've said, or I've said from day one, that the only way that a club can be successful is if everybody's in it together. Supporters can play a massive part this month and for the rest of the season. And for massive parts of this season so far, supporters have been very good. I talk about sort of the atmosphere at the Stadium of Light, and sampled it a few occasions where they've got really behind the team, and then suddenly they have the wind knocked out the sails by us making a mistake or conceding, and that's when obviously people have got a right to criticise when you make mistakes. So let's hope we don't give them anything to many mistakes on Saturday, and the place becomes a real buoyant atmosphere for everybody, because I'm sure there's no better stadiums in the Championship and even in the Premiership at times. A real vibrant Stadium of Light, and let's hope that Saturday's the start of it all.
Not a lot else he can really say, James, but it is getting a bit repetitive now, isn't it?
It is, but like you say, you know, and as I said to you earlier on, nothing's changed. It's the same. It's the same as when he walked in on day one. He walked in on day one and took over a team that hadn't won a game since last December, and he's still got a team that hasn't won a game at home since last December. So it's unsurprising that he's still saying the same things. I think if I'm right, he's his own personal winless streak is 5 games at home, which isn't good, but it's by no means, everybody refers back to December because that's how long, obviously, the fans recall, but that's not his record. His record is 5 games, home games without a win. So I think you have to keep that in perspective, but obviously it feels much longer because we've all been here long before he has.
His record as well, though, is I think 1-16 in the Championship, so that's not great for him if we're talking about personal records. But that's true.
You're talking with a different team, yeah, different set of players, different set of circumstances, yeah. So that you can't really transfer that.
When you're talking about the fans as well, you know, I think that's the most important thing in terms of the reaction, response, and the atmosphere. And like he says. In that piece there, you know, when we go behind or a mistake happens and causes us to suffer, the wind gets knocked out of people's sails, and that's because the fans haven't seen a win at home since December, and they've had, well, I say we've been in the same situation since we spoke to Steve four and a half years ago. I mean, haven't we? We've been struggling against relegation. We've had numerous players, numerous managers. Nobody's been able to solve the problem. Everyone's making comments about, you know, it's a rotten core. There's something in the deep in the club that's wrong, and, you know, nobody knows how to fix it, all that kind of thing. So, you know, I think that's where the weariness and the support comes from. And to be fair, the fact that there's still 25 home fans that go to every game is a minor miracle, in my opinion. You know, well, there probably is, really, isn't there? About 25 home fans, 25,000 home fans. I'm saying 25 as in 25,000, Michael. Even if it was 25, I'd probably be still impressed, you know, because it is a ridiculous situation that we've been in for such a long time, and people, it's natural that people get sick. So
you're entirely right, you know, and I absolutely understand and share the fans' frustrations with that, because it goes back such a long way, and I can understand why people get dispirited and downhearted. The problem is that does have a side effect of making life harder for the team. That's not the fans' fault, obviously. But the point is that when a pass goes astray or you concede an early goal, you can feel the wind go out of the sails. It's like bursting a balloon in a stadium of light, and that makes it so much more difficult for the team to get back on terms. And it's how do you solve that? Because it's not this group of players' fault necessarily for all the things that have gone before, but the fans have been through it all before and have seen it and have been ground down by it. And it's how do you almost want to draw a line in the sand and say to the fans, well, treat this as day one. But that's impossible.
I think when you look at it as well across the course of the season, when you come away from the games individually, you know, you'd be very annoyed about some of the results and some of the performances. But I would say the Derby game, probably a little bit unfortunate not to win that one. I think the Leeds game was just frustrating. We were terrible against Sheffield United. The Nottingham Forest one was just, again, we couldn't score.
Should have won that game.
And again, I thought the Cardiff game, I thought we did all right in that game. And we were on top and gave a stupid mistake. Yeah. And that's a team I think after they won that game, they might have been even second or first after winning that game.
That's the difference, Gareth. So you've got a game against Cardiff that could have gone either way. And because of the atmosphere and the problems that we've spoken about at Sunderland, the game goes in Cardiff's favour. If you've got a bouncing stadium of light and everybody's confident and on top of it, it goes in Sunderland's direction. That's the difference.
I don't know if the atmosphere would have stopped Lamine Cornier pushing that fella in the back nine, but
no, but you know what I'm saying. It's the little things that make the difference.
I do agree with James's point, but the thing I would like to say is I think we've seen already this season what can happen when Sunderland show any kind of green shoots of recovery. So the Preston game, I mean, you'll remember, Stephen and Gareth, how positive we were on the podcast 2 days after, and we're still second bottom of the Championship, and we'd just drawn 2-2 at Preston. But we were like very positive and talked the job up. After our opening four games when we were undefeated, there was a real kind of vibrant atmosphere around the place. And I just think of it, the way things are going, and because it's been that long since a home win, when the day comes where we finally break the hoodoo, I do think it'll be a really good atmosphere. And then if we can get the win on Saturday, suddenly you think, oh great, we've got our next two of our next three games are at home, and suddenly you're looking forward to it and you can generate a bit of momentum. And I've said this before on the podcast, and I'll sound like a bit of a broken record, but like James also said earlier, things haven't changed, and until they do change, then it's going to be the same. But I do think that if we can just get like a win under our belts, then the whole club can just be so much more buoyant. And like I said before, the fans, we want to get behind them, you know, we want the team to succeed. It's just frustrating, but as I say, if we get a positive result the weekend, then we can put a run together, because as I've argued before, I don't think this team is anywhere near as bad as what the league table reflects.
No, I think we can all agree on that. So hopefully we'll see some of you along at the Peacock before the game. We didn't discuss Duncan Watmorton Knight. It goes without saying the impact he would have if somebody like that starts.
Could say he's a saviour, Stephen.
No, that's Paddy McNair. Paddy's my guy for that. Thanks for listening.
Wise Men Say, Sun FM Preview Show.
With Stradstone Jaguar Land Rover, Houghton Lisburing.
Take a test drive at their Doxford Business Park temporary home.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.